Okay, so we're going to get right into this. Let me explain what's going to happen. There's going to be four of us, brothers, and we're going to share this last message, message number 8, on the corporate warrior and the holy city. Amen. So go ahead and turn your outlines to that portion. And we're going to share about 12 minutes each, so it's going to be kind of fast and furious. You're going to have to pick up the points, so pay attention. It's good to have the brothers here, amen? And then we're going to have a break, and after the break, it's your time. It's your meeting. After that point, you share all your enjoyment of this conference, okay? So you may want to even start considering some of the points you've enjoyed, because that's going to be your meeting. So you need to be prepared to dispense all that's been infused into you, okay? Okay, let me start my timer here. All right, so let's turn to this outline, message number 8. Let's read the title together. Go.
The Church, the Corporate Warrior, and the Holy City.
Okay, so we need to see this corporate warrior. That's going to be the first point here. But before we even see this corporate warrior, I have a real burden that you would see this matter of these three wills in the universe. Okay, so Roman number 1 says there are three wills in the universe. You might say, but yeah, there's billions of people on this planet. What do you mean? There's only three wills in this universe. There's only three wills in this universe. Which wills are they? Well, A says what?
The will of God.
B says?
The will that is set
against God's
will.
And C says?
A human will
that is free. Okay, we're going to see how this kind of plays into our experience of this corporate warrior. So, there is brothers and sisters, there is a divine will.
Amen.
The highest being in this entire universe has a will.
Amen.
He has a good pleasure.
Amen.
And we see this in Ephesians chapter 1. If you read those verses as we've been getting into this matter of the church, you saw that there is a will.
Amen.
And he was so pleased to make known this will to us. The mysteries of this will. Okay, so let's read Ephesians 1:9. Yeah, and if you read chapter 1 of Ephesians, his will is mentioned at least 4 times. At least 4 times. This is his will. There is a divine will in this universe. Think about what that means. That means God, the God of this universe, the one who created you and me and everything else, has a will. What is your will compared to that? Nothing. Nothing. He has a will. That should mean something to you, that God has a will. Okay, we'll see more here in just a minute. Unfortunately, and I just wanted to point this out, this verse is not on here. Matthew 16:18. What does Matthew 16:18 say concerning his will? I will what?
Build
my church.
Amen.
The church is at the center of his will.
Amen.
He's so desirous of the church. I will. I mean, Peter saw, you're the Christ. And he said, wait, Peter, I have something else. I will build my church. The church is at the center of God's will. Unfortunately, we do have another will in this universe. At the fall of Lucifer, this angel, another will was interjected onto the scene. Before this, there was only one will in this universe. And all the created beings just followed his will. At this point, another will came on the scene. We don't have time to read all the verses, but Isaiah 14:13 gives us a little glimpse. Let's read that together. And I believe if you read this section, there's at least 5 I wills. I will. I will. In other words, before this is before the creation of man, another will came on the scene. Another will. Challenging God's will. Isn't that bad? That's terrible. Okay. We have to move on. So we have a human will. God created us with a free will. A human will that is free. What should our response be? There's God's will. There's the satanic will that is against God's will. And now we're right here. There's this triangular situation. We're here. What do we do? What should our response be? What do you think our response should be? Don't peek. What do you think our response should be? Should it be, I will? Should our response be, well, I will? I mean, God said, I will. Satan said, I will. We should say, well, I will. What do you think our response should be? What's the first word of the verse, the next verse, Matthew 4, 17b? Repent! Do you know why this is the first word here? Because we're all born in sin. We're all born in the old creation. And the old creation, whether we like it or not, is aligned with Satan's will. Did you know that? Your will, by birth, into mankind, into fallen mankind, is aligned with Satan's will. That means you don't even have to try. By default, you think, I'm neutral. There's no neutrality in this universe. There's no neutrality. Either you're aligned with God's will, or you're aligned with the satanic will. So, our beginning needs to be repent.
Amen.
Repent.
Amen.
So many times, our turning to the Lord starts with, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord, even that word, Lord, or even, oh, there's a turning of the mind. That's a repentance. Repenting just means to change the mind, to turn the mind. That's what we're doing. But listen, brothers and sisters, I want to give you a warning. Many times in our experience, our experience is, I will. I went to the meeting. I went to the conference. Ooh, I heard these wonderful things. I heard practical handles that are going to help me. I will read my Bible 15 minutes a day. I will go to all the meetings. And none of these are bad things. None of these are bad things. I will have morning revival. I will be a good brother, or I will stop doing that thing that I've been doing. I will get rid of this and that. You know what you're doing? You're setting yourself up for failure. Okay, I'm going to show you very quickly in the Word. Turn to Romans chapter 7 really quickly. We don't have a lot of time. Matter of fact, I only have 5 minutes and 11 seconds. Romans chapter 7, Paul had this experience. In verse 16, he says, but if what I do not will, this I do. I agree with the law that it is good. Okay, he agrees, it's good. But what he wills, he does not do. And then in 17, then it's no longer I that work it out, but the sin that dwells in me. 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but to work out the good is not. And then I want you to look at 21. Read verse 21 together.
I find then the law within me, who wills to do the good, that is the evil is present with me.
What does this word mean? This verse, even the way it's structured, used to bother me. I find then the will that is with me, who wills to do good, that is the evil that is present. Listen to the footnote. The Greek word means that which is evil in character. This must be the evil life, nature, and character of Satan himself, who is the indwelling sin in us. Now listen. When sin is dormant within us, it is merely sin. But when it is aroused in us by our willing to do the good, it becomes the evil. As soon as you start exercising your will to do something, it becomes the evil. So you might say, whoa, what is this? What's going on? I thought we're supposed to want to read the Bible in this. Yes, we should. There should be a response in us. Lord, I want to be in your word. I want to spend time with you. I want to be empowered in your grace. I want to be under your transmission. So what do we do? Well, the secret is in the next part here in the warrior. The church must be a warrior to defeat God's enemy. Everyone read the first sentence of Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Go. Okay, that much right there. Read it again, that first sentence.
Finally, be empowered in the Lord and in the might of His strength.
Okay, does it say, finally, be powerful?
No.
What does it say? Be empowered. Listen, what do we do with our human will? We align it with God's will, but more importantly, the way you do that practically is you need to tap into the power. Okay, I don't have time to get into all of it and read all the verses. Ephesians 1:19, what does it say? What is Ephesians 1:19? I think it's been in the verses you guys have been getting into. His power is what? Toward us. Who what?
Believe.
The surpassing greatness of His power is toward us.
Amen.
Who believe. And then Ephesians 3, Paul prayed that we'd be strengthened by His Spirit, with power, through His Spirit, by His Spirit, into the inner man. And that we would be strengthened to apprehend. And then what does this verse say? Be empowered. Listen, these lights, how did they come on? That the brothers go run some wires, and then there's like some hamsters running in a wheel over there, and they're trying to generate power, and there's someone right. That would be futile, right?
Right.
Why? Because all the power plant has been hooked up to that breaker box over there, and then it comes to a switch over here, and all the brother had to do is go and go. Yeah. Do you know what the secret to the warrior is? They learned how to switch on. Over and over and over and over again.
Amen.
There's no, I'm going to try. Oh, I'm going to do. I'm going to work it out. They switch on.
Amen.
What does that mean? How do you switch on? Well, it could be, Lord, forgive me.
Amen.
Switch on.
Amen.
It could be, Jesus.
Amen.
Could be, oh, I'm so happy in this lovely place, in the garden growing in His grace. You're switching on. Maybe you need to confess. That's okay. Get rid of the insulation. If the switch isn't working, it's not because of the power. There's nothing wrong with the power. There may be some insulation there. You may need to confess. You may need to apologize. But once that's cleared up, what happens? The electricity is on. The empowering is on. Okay. Oh, 1 second. Okay. The last handle is in the next verse. What does it say next?
Amen.
Not only switch on, but
put on.
It doesn't say work really hard and work out so you can become the warrior. It says be empowered and put on. That's how we put on the warrior. That's how we become the warrior. We switch on and we put on.
Amen.
Really practical handle. How do you put on the whole armor of God? The whole armor of God is all the other members of the body. It's not you individually.
Amen.
So you need to get with the saints.
Amen.
Paul's very practical.
Amen.
He just says, present your bodies.
Amen.
You want to put on? Be where the saints are.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and read Roman numeral 3 and the verses in Ephesians there. One, go.
Put on.
Which spirit is the word of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the vision of the church.
Amen.
And this final two items, the corporate warrior.
Yes.
Praise the Lord for these practical handles.
Yeah.
Switch on.
Amen.
And put on.
Amen.
Right? Okay, one more way, right? We can pray, we can sing. How about this one? How about thank you, Lord?
Amen.
How about thank you, Lord? One day I was at the gas station, and I was just filling up the tank, and I was considering. Anyway, I looked around, and I saw cars, and I looked at my car, and the Lord just, right there, he got me. He said, just say thank you. I said, thank you. The Lord touched me. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. That was that, you know, I don't know where I was. I don't know if I was in spirit or not in spirit, but that got me. It switched on. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you. Amen. Okay, so a lot of times I hope we would just thank the Lord. Amen. Or even how about praise the Lord, amen, right? Or how about Lord Jesus, I love you, amen, right? These are simple ways, precious ways, right? Precious handles to switch on and be in our spirit and to help us to be in the corporate warrior. Amen. I appreciate what Zeke mentioned right here, right? The whole armor. Amen. Right? Where is the whole armor? The whole armor is on the body. Amen. Where is the body? Well, where is your body? Yeah. Practically, where your body is really affects where you are in the experience of the armor, yeah, right? If you are where the armor is, then you enjoy the armor. Praise the Lord, this morning, we're right here. Is there any struggle? No. We're under the armor. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and there's so much in the armor, right? And I just say, to experience and enjoy and apply the armor, right? The next two points actually go together. I'll just read four to you. Prayer is the application of the items of God's armor, okay? So these two kind of things here. One is presenting our body. That's practical. That's a practical handle. You know, in the there's the corporate side, and then there's the personal side. Amen. And, you know, these two matters affect each other. So on the one side, personally, we're going to the Lord, right? Day by day, morning by morning. Hey, that's a practical handle. How about when I wake up in the morning, when I open my eyes, when I come to consciousness? Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. How about that? That's right? Yeah. We start the day personally, amen, to contact the Lord. Amen. Well, if we do that, you know what? There will be a issue, right? And what is that? We will want to join ourselves, yeah, right? We don't want to just stay in that enjoyment by ourselves, but we want to be with the brothers. Amen. We want to be with the saints. Amen. We want to be in the meetings of the church. Okay, amen. Well, if that's maybe not necessarily your case, then what should you do? Well, on the other side is go to the meeting. When you go to the meeting, you know what you hear? You hear, Lord Jesus, I love you. And what happens? You're reminded. Oh, yeah, that's right. Lord Jesus, I love you. And then what do? You call on the Lord. And then you have a desire the next morning. Oh, I'm gonna get to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Okay, so this is practical. Okay, the other side that of this matter is the matter of in the armor. Most of the armor is defensive, right? It's all defensive. Covering things, covering our heart, you know, shielding us, shodding our feet, right? Girding ourselves. Actually, the girding is the first item, right? Being girded with the truth. Okay, we've been talking about going to Germany, right? Being in the Lord's move. This is a very practical item. Be girded with the truth, right? Be filled with the truth. Learn all the truths. But this is not just truth in a doctrinal way. This truth is truth that is God in Christ lived out of us. Amen. Okay? Amen. I just had to say that. God in Christ lived out of us. It's not just, anyway, a doctrinal truth. It's a truth that is experiential, right? God is real to us in Christ, in our daily living, right? Day by day, we experience this one. We know him. We know him in so many ways. Know him as our heir. Know him as our chair. Actually, we know him in a way that he's a land. Some of us were in the book of Ezekiel this summer, right? He's a land, right? Sometimes, I'm just looking for like a grape in the land. I'm looking for a little apple, a little water. And I miss it completely. He's more than that. He's the whole land. He's everything for us to enjoy and experience all the time. You're never off the land, right? You can always enjoy what's on the land. And so when we do this, we experience God in Christ, and he gets lived out in our practical living. Okay. So, but then the brothers, we were burdened, right, that these things get applied. The armor is applied by prayer, okay, and in our prayer. And I have enjoyed thoroughly getting to be with the brothers on the brother's side. And I really enjoyed the brothers' prayer reading. Sisters, oh, it was good prayer reading. It was just, oh. And that is a good kind of corporate prayer reading. I was just encouraged. I told the brothers, man, when are you going to get to read the Bible in this kind of way? Right? It was a corporate reading of the Word of God. And it was with impact, right, brothers? And that is one way to handle the Word of God, by means of prayer. That's one way. But I would like to encourage us, and the brothers, we want to encourage us in this way with our handling of the Word. That's not the only way, right? It says, by means of all prayer and petition, right? So when I'm in my room, you know, and I have the Bible open, you know, it's not that kind of, you know, it's not like that, right? Maybe sometimes the Lord might lead me, and I need to, but generally it's not quite like that, right? But there's a kind of conversing, right, and an opening to the Lord, a talking to the Lord. I appreciate it. A brother brought up this verse, right? Maybe you're in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and you're on this verse, and it says what? Do not be anxious, right? And you're there. I'm just there reading, Lord. It says, do not be anxious. But I got a flat tire, Lord. Lord, I got to get to class. I got a test coming up this morning. What am I going to do? You just open. What is that? That's prayer reading too. Amen. Actually, many times I come to the Word and I just realize, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. We talk about repent, right? And I just come to the Word and I just need to say, that's prayer reading. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're not anxious. I'm full of anxiety. Lord, I just give my anxiety to you. I love you, right? And continue to enjoy, right? And go on. And there are many ways. I hope the brothers enjoyed this other way of prayer reading. We emphasize red, right? And there's a brother in church history, I think it was Martin Luther, and he described the prayer reading in this way, that it's like in the Word, each verse is a kind of branch, right? It's a fruit-bearing branch. And as you're going through the words of the Bible, right, maybe the Lord is my shepherd, right? And you just go along that verse and you go, each word is like a branch. Lord, the Lord is my shepherd. That's a little branch, the Lord. And maybe there you might touch something there, or maybe you don't. So you can continue. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Maybe you get touched, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Wow, the Lord is my shepherd, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, you shepherd everyone. Thank you for all your care. But Lord, you're not just everyone's shepherd. You're my shepherd, right? So as we go through the Word, right, there's a way to touch it, right, and bring it into our personal experience. And this will strengthen us, you know. You don't have to look for anything, right? You just have this in the way of a handle, in the way of a practice, an exercise. And as you're doing this, it will affect everything else. You know, the next thing I realize is, you know, I don't intend anything, but all of a sudden it's a little easier to pray. All of a sudden it's a little easier to read the Bible, do other things, spiritual activities, even just carry out our day. But what are we doing as we're carrying our day? We are in the warrior, amen, right? And the Lord wants his warrior. Right? Anyway, the Lord has a bride, but this bride is a warrior, and she has to deal with things. Amen. What does she have to deal with? Eventually, she needs to deal with the enemy. Amen. Right? And she's being prepared to do this. She's a warrior. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the corporate warrior. Amen. Right? And so what is the warrior dealing with? The warrior has to deal with an enemy. Yeah. Right? And so there are two terms with the enemy. One is the enemy. You could say the word enemy means somebody maybe without, outside of you. There's an enemy. And there is. But more often than not, the enemy is not just outside. Actually, there's another person or another name, and that is the adversary. And that adversary is not without. He's many times within, right? He's within in our thinking, right? Within our feelings, right? Oh, Lord Jesus. So praise the Lord. This armor has one offensive item, and that is the sword, right? The sword of the Spirit. And so when we come to the Word to pray in this way, on the one hand, the Word nourishes us. On the one hand, the Word is very enriching, right? On the other hand, the Word is killing. And what is it killing? It's killing all the adversary within us, right? And what is the adversary mainly trying to do? Well, a main tactic, right, is to offend. It's to offend, right? He wants us to feel offended. Oh, something didn't go my way, all right, in the church life. Maybe something doesn't go your way. Something that you desire, you think it should be this way, or somebody should treat me this way. You may have I hope you write this word down. You might think you may have an expectation. Saints, do we ever have an expectation? Oh, Lord Jesus, right? We need to have those things dealt with in our being, right? We may expect to be treated a certain way. Okay, brothers and sisters, do we expect to be treated better than the Lord Jesus? How was the Lord Jesus treated? Do we deserve to be treated any better? Oh, Lord Jesus, well, let's run to the Word, because it's only the enemy that makes us feel this way, right? And this is a practical way to deal with him. Amen. To bring in the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and read Roman numeral 5. Oh. Ready? Go.
Okay, and then let's go A, B, and C. A, sisters, brothers, B, and all together on C. Brothers, all together.
The marriage of the Lamb in Revelation, followed by the war at Armageddon.
Okay, so this particular point related to the corporate warrior shows us how much it's tied to the matter of you can't separate, because I think you can't. You know, it's one diamond with many facets, and right next to warrior is bride. Bride, warrior. Bride, warrior. Every time the matter of fighting against God's enemy, immediately it's always tied to the bride. Incredible. I love that my wife's a fighter. Amen. That's what she's supposed to be. Right? Awesome. That's what the Lord wants. Right? He needs, listen, he needs a warrior. Amen. To defeat God's enemy. Amen. But he loves his bride. Amen. It fulfills Genesis 1:26. It's inseparable. God's purpose is fulfilled by having a corporate bride express him. Amen. And at the same time, defeating the enemy. It's the same person. Be a loving fighter and a fighting lover. Amen.
Amen.
That's who the Lord is, right? This is the one, right? All that the bride is what is in Christ. Amen. And all that the warrior is, are you able to fight? No, be empowered.
Amen.
Just switch on. Amen. You think the warrior's got it? Oh, the warrior did it on them. No. They've learned to tap into the one who's the victor.
Amen.
Christ defeated Satan on the cross.
Amen.
He's already overcome.
Amen.
He just needs some on the earth to cooperate,
Amen.
To execute.
Amen.
So he needs a warrior.
Amen.
He needs a warrior.
Amen.
So I would say, you know how to become a warrior? Love. Just love. Love the Lord.
Amen.
Pursue him with love.
The
more you love him, the more you'll touch his heart. And you'll realize, there's a problem. Let's deal with the problem, right? So it's quite striking in all of these particular sections of the Word, in the Song of Songs, you would say, the Song of Songs is a book on love, right? It's about this intimate, sweet relationship with this one pursuing after. So it's not a book on war. No, it's a book of love. The focus. God wants a loving bride. So if there's anything in the way, we got to deal with it, right? So the focus is not warrior, although we're touching the corporate warrior, but it's very much related to the Lord wants a bride, one that's one with Him, that expresses Him, right? So you go through the seeker in the Song of Songs. Let's read the verse 6-4 all together. Ready, go. You are as so we had the public reading last night of these verses with the brothers. Brother Hans Michael had brothers stand up there and shamelessly read to all the brothers about how our bridegroom was a crazy lover. And all the brothers are a little bit embarrassed, like, man, this is like getting a little personal. Okay, so here's the Lord speaking to the bride, and he's proclaiming, he says, you're as beautiful as this city called Tirzah. And everybody's going like, as you're a beautiful, as a city? You're a crazy man. Not only that, but what's on his heart. And as lovely as Jerusalem. Sorry, I don't speak to my wife like that. You're as beautiful as a city. You're as great as whatever, you know. What? He's crazy. You know what bridegrooms do before their husbands? They're crazy. They're madly in love. They speak things that don't make sense. They do things that don't make sense. Because they're, listen, it's the bridal love. Amen. And then he says, not only beautiful and lovely, but he also says, terrible. And you know what? I bet you she was there like, that is right. You got it. I am beautiful because you feel and you've infused and you've loved. And I am lovely because of you. Apart from you, I'm nothing. And you know what? You also have infused into me that there's a problem. So you know what? To the enemy, I'm terrible. As an army. Brothers, don't ever call your wife an army. But anyway, the Lord did. Liz, an army with banners. Banners. Okay, the banners, there's two indications. You know, whenever people are in parades or whenever they're doing something, there's always a banner. You know, da, 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 high school, da, 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 da. The banner always comes first. They're like, oh, it's a parade. Who's next? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mesquite High. Here they come. Da, 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 da. Mesquite High. Da, 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 da. Nobody goes, I don't know who they are. Nope, banner. Da, da, da. Okay, who's up next? I think it's our high school. Oh, look, there's Joe. Da, 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 da. There's no guesswork. Okay, it's not just an army, but out in front of the army, there's banners. And you know what the banner signifies? Listen, it's ready to fight. Her banner says, Satan, here I come. Da, 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 da. You are really in trouble. Da, 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 da. Ready to fight. That's one characteristic of the banner. Amen. She's terrible with the matter of the banner. Okay, then what? A sign that the victory is won. She's not fighting. She's just proclaiming. It's already done. Hallelujah! Great to fight a battle that's already won. So it's this, ha ha ha, praise the Lord, it's already been done, hallelujah. And Satan's like, oh my goodness, here comes the warrior. So it's about two kingdoms, and it's about bringing in God's kingdom, right? So even with the wife in Ephesians, right away, the warrior comes in Ephesians 6. Marriage of the Lamb, marriage of the Lamb. Right after that, guess what? Armageddon. Here we go. So I would encourage you to write this verse down. It's not on there. Revelation 19:8 talks about clothed in fine linen. Then the second verse there is Revelation 19:14, dressed in fine linen. The same linen, one is for the wedding, and the same linen is for battle. It just shows you, you can't separate the warrior from the bride. Fine linen. It's like, they got a wedding dress on, or they got a warfare? What's going on? It's the same, right? So for Armageddon and the fight and the war and the proclaiming of the Lord's victory, fine linen. To be married, fine linen. Brothers and sisters, we are the corporate warrior. Hallelujah. And we're being empowered to join the one that has defeated the enemy. Awesome. It's so good to be on the winning side. Hallelujah. And just to conclude and let Mike share, you know, it's quite striking. Brother, even the more I was thinking, you know, this is at the end of the Great Tribulation. This is when the Lord eventually, with the bridal army, comes and defeats, right? Yeah. But you know what happens? There's a group that are part of the man-child that throw him out of heaven. Yeah. You know, you don't just become a warrior without exercising this life to be a warrior. Be a part of the man-child. Amen. Taste the little early battle. Throw him out of heaven. Amen. Why not? Amen. That's part of the bride too, right? It's hard to separate. But anyway, this is who our Lord is. Amen. So I would say the way to be a part of the warrior is love him. Amen. You will get filled with a feeling that, wow, there is a problem in this universe, and I want to be one with Christ to deal with his enemy. And keep loving him. Amen. You're like, oh, the enemies bother me. Get into the meeting and love him. Amen. Amen? Amen?
How about we sing that song, I'm So Happy, the chorus?
I'm so happy in this lovely place, in the garden growing in his grace. There is no finer pleasure than to eat the living tree and to get the living water into me.
Okay, I can do it again, but we're going to put in, instead of a lovely place, put in whatever your favorite item of the church was this weekend. So I'm so happy in God's building, growing in his grace. I'm so happy in the warrior. I'm so happy. We'll just do it all at the same time. Ready?
I'm so happy.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't y'all glad to be here in this lovely place? Let's turn to the page 21 there, which is right next to the outline there on page 20. And we'll just go down these items that we've seen this weekend. Saints, we are in a vision. I'm so glad to be here seeing this vision. It's like the Lord, he wants to bring us into his heart and show us what is really makes him tick. What he's really wanting and desiring. This is awesome. So let's just read these items and we'll have like the... we'll have the brothers start with God's building, and then you read. So are y'all all on page 21 there? Okay, so we'll read the item under the church, God's building, and then you'll also read the key word, dwelling. Okay, so the brothers will do that one, then the sisters, one new man, and we'll just go down the list together. You ready, brothers? Go.
God's building, dwelling.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, which ones did I miss here? Got lampstand, God's building, family, body, kingdom, man-child. Oh, bride. Ooh, that's a big one. I think I got the warrior. Holy city. First fruits. Amen. I'm just going to put FF. First fruit. Did I get man child? MC? Oh, yeah, I got
that one.
Oh, one new man. What was it? Obi-Wan. New man. Amen. Did I get dwelling? Oh, God's dwelling. So I hope we've seen a vision that God has passed through a process to what? Become available to us as the Spirit in Christ, as the Spirit reaching us to produce what? The church. To produce the church. But what is the church? Well, there it is. All these items we've been in this weekend are the issue of his dispensing and his transmission. Isn't that awesome? Where are we? We're in a wonderful place. I'm so happy in this lovely place. Oh, my. So the last item. You know, it's interesting because all of these items, you know what they do? They consummate in the New Jerusalem. I don't know if y'all are, you know, you're in the morning revival or you're in the meeting and the saints are talking about the lampstand. Well, what does the lampstand finally end up in? The New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is just a giant lampstand, right? And, okay, what does the bride consummate in? The New Jerusalem. Every one of these items that we've gone through here consummate in the New Jerusalem. So guess where we are today? We're in the New Jerusalem. In miniature, right? In miniature. I'll never forget, I came out of a college conference, and we had been in something, I don't remember, and something was said about the New Jerusalem, and we came out to get into the lunch line, and I'm in college at that point, and I'm standing there, and I think there's some brothers fellowshipping or whatever, but I am just standing in this lunch line waiting, and I am under the divine dispensing. I mean, it is just like a river flowing in me. And it's almost like you don't want to move, because I'm enjoying it so much, you know. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. It was like a light. This is the New Jerusalem. You are in it right now. The river was flowing. The tree, I'm enjoying the tree. I'm under the throne. I mean, the whole thing. I was in shock. This is not a place we're going to. You know, I got saved reading about the New Jerusalem in Revelation. That's when I got saved. I was reading the Bible, and when I got to that part, I got saved. I was thinking it was a physical place somewhere. It's not a physical place. It's a great big sign to show us all that God is working toward. So what do you think we should be working toward? Okay, if God's destination and aspiration and is the New Jerusalem, where should I be headed? Yes, we should all be headed to the New Jerusalem. Okay, so let's read the outline here. Let's read point six all together. You ready? Church is the holy city. Okay, so we're going to have the brothers read all the points, A, B, C, D, but when it comes to where there's a verse, we'll have the sisters read that. Okay, so brothers will do A, B, C, D, and then the sisters will read the verse about the New Jerusalem there. Okay, you ready, brothers? Let's go. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm. Fruit.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this city is really awesome, and we didn't actually cover all the verses, but you know, if you actually, and again, it's a sign. The first verse in the book of Revelation says that this is a book of signs. So please don't get in the realm of it's a physical city. Well, how's there going to be any bathrooms there if it's all clear glass and everything? I mean, that was what I was wondering. How do you have any privacy in this place? Okay, it's not a physical city. Otherwise, you got all kinds of logistical problems. All right, it's a spiritual sign. All right, so here, this is kind of a, you know, a rough diagram of what it might look like here. We have this golden mountain. And it's 12,000 stadia tall. And the base is also 12,000 stadia by 12,000 stadia. The wall is 144 cubits, which is about 216 feet. I don't know if this meeting hall, how long is this meeting hall? Yeah, across. The whole hall. 200 feet? How many?
300.
Okay, so just if you could just turn the hall, you'd be about two-thirds up. You know, that's how high your wall is. Very big, high wall. And it's got three gates on each side, 12 gates total. And what are the gates made out of?
Pearl.
That's why I drew them round. Got these pearls. There's a throne, right?
Yes.
And from the throne is flowing a? And the river goes to the whole city. So it has to be spiraling. So this is the river spiraling down from the throne, okay, watering the whole city. This is a city of water. This whole thing's made out of gold. And eventually, praise the Lord, it has the glory of God. That's the shining. Okay, just to give you an idea how big this New Jerusalem is. Okay, this is not to scale. Okay. No. Because if the wall, we wouldn't even be able to see the wall. So I asked the brothers to put a picture here because 12,000 stadia is like 1,380 miles. So here's a picture of the United States. And you can see from the tip of Texas all the way up there to the Great Lakes. And from Washington, D.C. to Phoenix, Arizona, you know, that is the size of 12,000 stadia. Can you imagine? So it's not only that big in the base, but it's that tall. It is massive. We are not talking about any kind of city that's ever been seen. And again, it's not a physical, but it's just showing you how awesome this is. Okay, so when we say we're in the holy city, we're talking miniature. Okay, we're maybe our little holy city is about like this, right? But as we gain the Lord, as God grows in us, you know what's happening? She's growing. This is where we're going, saints. We're going to the New Jerusalem. I really want you to realize this. This is like needs to be the bullseye of my, you know, just like if I could draw a big bullseye here. This is the bullseye of my Christian life. This is the bullseye of my church life. This is where I'm headed. This is where I'm going. This is my destination. I will not be deterred. And I realize I'm going to fail. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Actually, I'm not even the one that has to get there. He's going to get me there. Praise the Lord. I was thinking, Peter, of, you know, medical school. You know, I obviously never went to medical school or David. But, you know, I don't think you get to medical school by accident. You have to have a vision of where you want to go, right? And based on that, you have to make some decisions, right? Didn't you have to make some decisions? Didn't you have to suffer? I mean, there were some things he had to suffer. I hear about them having to work all night, 24-hour shifts and all these things, and it's just like, whew, I'm glad I didn't go through that. But some people have a vision, and that vision keeps them on course. I can't goof around in college. I need to make straight A's. Why? Because I'm going to medical school, and I'm going to be a doctor. So based on that vision, They just, their whole life lines up with, you know, with this destination. This is why the Lord's trying to show us a vision. You know, you guys are in high school. Your life's all ahead of you there. If you see the vision, you can line up with the destination. And eventually, there may be some things we have to give up. I can't do this. Why can't I do it? Oh, not because it's a rule in the church. Because I'm going to the New Jerusalem. Actually, I'm becoming the New Jerusalem. I'm in the New Jerusalem. I want to stay there. I want to stay in the enjoyment. I want to keep drinking the living water. I want to stay under the throne. You know who? You know who's outside? The devil is back there. I can't do it. I can't draw, but he's back there in the lake of fire somewhere far in the distance with the smoke just going up. That's the LOF. He's forever and ever. Just somewhere in the distance. Who cares? He's in the trash can. Outside are all, there's a lot of things outside. That's why if you realize all these things of the New Jerusalem apply to our church life. Do you know in the church life there's a wall? There's a wall in the church life. Sometimes I'm sure as young people y'all run into it. Boom. Ah. Well, what was that? You just hit the wall. Well, you know, one time I was a young sister, and she, brand new, she was a new student, and my wife and I were outside, and anyway, so she's just used to giving everybody hugs, big old, you know, hugs. Well, I don't like hugging. Plus, I know from 1 Corinthians 7, it's better for a man not to touch a woman. So I don't hug the sisters as a matter of, you know, practice or whatever. But anyway, she's a new one. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So here she comes, you know, to hug me. I just, you know, whatever. I kind of just stood there. But I didn't like. I mean, I did whatever you're supposed to do. Okay. I mean, I didn't want to make her uncomfortable or whatever. Later, she told my wife, you know, when I went over there to greet your husband, something inside me said, don't do that. Don't do that. Registered in this new sister. Like when she tried to hug me, it's like she touched the wall. And from then on, she didn't do that anymore. Well, did I tell her that? Did anybody tell her that? There's a wall. If there are transformed saints in your locality, there is a wall. And saints, we should be a wall. The more we enjoy the Lord and get transformed, we become the wall. This is actually where we are down here. We're in the wall. Here we are in the Jasper wall. We're the stones in the wall. So there should be a wall. And you know what else you get to be? At your school, and your whole life long, you get to be a gate, an entrance into the New Jerusalem. You know, one time I was in a meeting, and a home meeting, and I just kept thinking about this old friend of mine. Just thinking about him. Got a burden for him. After the meeting, I was so stirred up, I called him. I was in the enjoyment of the Lord. I've been enjoying the life-secreting resurrection of Christ and coating me this old grain of sand to become a pearl. Okay, I called him on the phone. Hey, brother. He wasn't a brother. Hey, you know, how are you doing? Da-da-da-da. We started talking. Turns out he had just been in kind of a bad situation and kind of had turned to the Lord. Anyway, guess where he is today? He's in the church life. He's enjoying all the riches of the holy city, all the riches of the church. Why? Because he entered in through me into the holy city. I was his entrance. So all of us are entrances. Think about that. Entrances into the holy city. Just one word and you can bring somebody into God's eternal purpose. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. So don't forget you're a pearl and you are an entrance into the New Jerusalem. So you see how all this is so applicable. Okay, this morning I'm at breakfast there and even today I'm sitting here. What do I see? Okay, well, you know, if I'm just in the natural man, oh, look at the saints and all this, and what are they wearing, and oh, there's so-and-so, I haven't seen him in a while, and da-da-da-da. But if I have the divine view, I realize it's not just y'all that are sitting here. There's a giant gold mound of gold right here. That's God. God is here. Amen. He's in us, and he's among us. Amen. And if you have the spiritual view, he is towering up. Sometimes I'm in our meeting and I'm just like, wow, God is here. Clear glass. Like clear glass. You don't really, do you see clear glass? Do you see God? Do you see this flowing river? Where is it? Do we have any water? I mean, it's invisible, right? It's clear, but it is flowing. Amen. And in our meetings, what's happening? There's a flow. Amen. We have to exercise our spirit, right? Amen. To enter into the reality of this flowing river. Amen. To enjoy this tree. Amen. To see God. Amen. Hallelujah. So anyway, like in my locality, it may be like this. You know, maybe sometimes there's like a little hole. Seems like there's a hole in the wall. You know. But anyway, we have to have faith. The Lord is producing the new Jerusalem. Amen. What am I doing here in this meeting? Amen. We're building the new Jerusalem. Amen. We're becoming the new Jerusalem. Amen. So I need to enjoy the Lord. Amen. I need to take in life. I need to grow. And I need to flow Him out. Amen. Why am I speaking in the meeting? You know, you guys have a chance to speak in this meeting coming up here. And we're going to take a break till about 11. But after 11, you have a chance. Why are you going to get up and speak? You want to look cool? Want to just have a good ending to the conference? I mean, there's a lot of reasons. Even some of them are good. But we have to know I am prophesying for the new Jerusalem. Amen. I'm going to put Christ into this brother. Amen. And into this sister. Amen. And after this meeting, there's going to be more gold.
Right?
Right?
Right.
There's going to be more of all these items.
Amen.
Anyway, so praise the Lord for the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
You know, I just went down here on the list, and it's just like in the point A, His building is here. Point B, He's here as the light.
Amen.
Point C, His people are here.
Amen.
His authority is here. And then point D, nothing natural.
Amen.
That pearl signifies nothing natural.
Amen.
Nothing natural does the body life allow.
Amen.
Right? We need the cross. And then E, we have His nature.
Yeah.
Gold, precious stones, and pearl. The nature of the triune God and mingling with the 12 pearls. Number 12 is for mingling. Then with F, we have the temple and the light of the city. His presence is here, His glory is here, and His life is here.
Amen.
When I enjoyed this morning, because the brothers were telling us how much the saints in Richardson have enjoyed serving in this conference, and I realized His service is here.
Amen.
You know, it says at the end, it says His slaves will serve Him.
Amen.
We get to serve Him forever,
Amen.
Right? And we also, what? His kingdom is here, and His ruling is here. We get to reign. Let's all read that last verse together under forever and ever. And they will reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Okay, so saints, I hope we see the vision. We respond to the vision. Give ourselves to grow in life, be built together, and be prepared as the bride to bring Him back. Okay, let's just go over on page 21 before we take our break. And let's go over these simple prayers under enjoying the vision of the church. Okay, and I guess we'll have the brothers that have been sharing, and include some of them back there. We'll read the item, and then the rest of the young people, y'all can pray the prayer. Okay, you ready, brothers?
Yes.
God's building.
Lord, I am the stone. Build me in.
The one new man.
Lord, we are uniquely one.
The household of God. The kingdom of God.
Lord, grow in me.
The body of Christ.
Lord, I am a living member.
The man child.
Lord, strengthen me.
The first fruits.
Lord, mature me.
The lampstand.
Lord, shine through me.
God's
Lord,
masterpiece.
Lord, work in me.
The bride of Christ. The corporate warrior.
Lord Jesus, defeat your enemy.
The holy city.
Come, Lord Jesus.
This is the last prayer in the Bible. Second to last verse. Let's say it again. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.